From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Coming up, Twitter celebrates its 8th birthday today, but there will be no celebration in Turkey. The country's prime minister has banned the social media service there to cut off critics of his government.
But first, we've long reported on the racial disparities in American education and the so-called school-to-prison pipeline. Kids, disproportionately minority kids, sent to institutions for relatively minor school infractions. But a new report out today from the Education Department's civil rights arm finds that that pipeline could start as early as preschool. Education Secretary Arne Duncan presented the report this morning at an elementary school in Washington, D.C.
Huge racial disparities in exclusionary discipline actually begin with our four-year-olds. Black preschool students represent only about 18% of the preschool population. 18%, but they represent 42% of the four-year-olds who are suspended.
Here are some more numbers. Black students were suspended and expelled at a rate 3 times higher than their white peers. And in preschool enrollment alone, half of the black students had been suspended more than once. NPR education correspondent Claudio Sanchez has been digging into this. And Claudio, I'm sure there are people saying, wait, four-year-olds suspended? But break down those numbers for us first.
Well, first of all, as the secretary just said, yes, you do have an enormous percentage of black children in these preschool programs that are getting in trouble for some reason, certainly more so than white kids. I mean, the percentage was that they represent less than a fifth of all preschool enrollment, and yet black kids, 48% of them, are receiving or are being expelled for receiving more than one out-of-school suspension. That is compared to white kids who are not getting nearly as many suspensions. And also, you know, the fact that black kids, once they move up in grade, they're expelled more often, 3 times more often than white kids. On average, 5% of white students are suspended compared to 16% of black students. And I have to say, this is data that is not necessarily new, but it's being put together in a very new way. Because remember that this report also talks about the disadvantages of black and Latino kids in mostly minority-majority schools that are also, you know, being cheated out of a good education because they don't have good teachers, because they don't have good resources, or as many as white kids have in this country.
Well, we as you say, this prison or school-to-prison pipeline is not at all new, and we've reported before on disparate discipline, but this idea of preschoolers. So let's just pick up where we always hear from listeners when we report on this issue. We always hear listeners who ask two questions. What are we hearing here? Is it possible that for whatever the reason, poverty or prejudice, the young minorities are more in need of discipline, or are they being disciplined more because of their color?
I think that raises a really uncomfortable question. And the question is, are black and Latino students in particular more likely to misbehave in school than white kids? And is that the reason for the disproportionate numbers? That debate has yet to really unfold. But here's what's worth noting, that it's the academic culture in a school, not the kid's race or ethnicity, that's usually the reason for the number of expulsions and suspensions. Poor minority students are often concentrated in big, overcrowded, dysfunctional schools. And if you're one of these kids who's sitting in a classroom where everybody is misbehaving or where there is little or no, you know, sense of discipline or respect among staff or between teachers and kids, well, you're obviously going to have a big problem on your hands. And because of the prevalence of so-called school resource officers, which are really nothing more than school cops in a school, you know, these are folks whose job it is to single out the kids who are misbehaving and getting them out as quickly as possible. And often that puts those kids on a really, really long track to something worse, whether it's dropping out, whether it's the juvenile justice system, or worse, ending up in prison. Yeah. And that's where that term school-to-prison pipeline comes from.
Right. So what is the Education Department proposing?
Well, Secretary Duncan today said he was going to offer $300 million in competitive grants to help school districts develop new policies and programs, most of these singling out, for example, conflict resolution programs that are well-known and very varied in many schools and states. But instead of suspending or expelling kids, for example, Duncan says schools should offer more counseling to students, teach them social and emotional skills. He's calling for more training for teachers who often don't know how to diffuse a tense situation or who overreact to a kid mouthing off using profanity and things like that. And finally, Mr. Duncan says, In-school suspension is far better than simply kicking out a student, because the data shows that once these kids are on the streets for any length of time, they're less likely to come back and, again, more likely to get in trouble. The question is, who's going to pay for all this?
Yeah. Well, and do we have an answer yet?
Well, $300 million, School Boards Association today was telling me, is a drop in the bucket. These are very expensive programs. And, well, you know, what school boards are saying is, fine, we do need to tweak or at least to reconsider, overhaul our so-called zero-tolerance policies. But we also need the help of communities. Waco, Texas is a great example, by the way. Texas has had a huge problem with this issue. But in Waco, you know, the governor gave them a ton of money to create new programs. And those programs extend into the community. There are weekend programs where you have these kids and their parents show up and talk about the problems that they bring to school and how to best diffuse them if they come up.
Well, it's just fascinating, Claudia. And we understand very, very briefly that one of the reasons schools got to this point was through zero tolerance programs. Those might be looked at as well.
Yeah, I mean, zero tolerance, as you may recall, began in earnest really after the Columbine, certainly after a spate of school shootings. And it was an effort to really, really create certainly more safe schools. Now, shootings are still, they still happen, unfortunately. But the zero tolerance policies that are now under scrutiny, in many cases, have gone overboard. Yeah. And these kids need to find alternatives.
Claudio Sanchez, education correspondent for NPR. Thank you.
You're welcome.